This is Rage, Radio Against Global Ecocide. Today on the show, High Value Water. We have Sheila Muxlow, water campaigner for the Sierra Club Prairie Chapter. Music from the Filthy Politicians and Apsai. This is Rage, building a community of resistance, one podcast at a time. Hello and welcome to Rage, Radio Against Global Ecocide, coming to you from occupied Amiskwatsi, Wiskagen. My name is Seymour Life, and folks, we should be raging. Like a beautiful river through a sun-touched forest, alive and vigorous. But instead, our rivers are strapped, walled, fed poison, and sucked dry. And I'd like to give a special hello to all beings out there that depend on water for life. There's nothing like a full, clean drink of water, is there? Look fast. There's the Widigo coming with a market on his back. Today we're talking to Sheila Muxlow, water campaigner for the Sierra Club Prairie Chapter. Their campaign is, Got Thirst? Is the Alberta government water law going to leave you high and dry? This is not an issue just for Alberta, but an issue for all of North America, if not the world. Welcome to the show, Sheila. Can I start by asking when the Sierra Club first found out about the Alberta government's plan for a water market system for the whole province? And why do you think that the public doesn't know that much about it?
Sure, yeah. So it was in the fall of 2008 that a Calgary Herald article came to our attention where Environment Minister Rob Brenner announced that his government was going to be reviewing the first-in-time, first-in-right water allocation principle for the province.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So first-in-time, first-in-right is essentially a principle that came into being in 1894 when the first settlers came over to Alberta and started, you know, moving out into the land and needed to figure out how to secure, you know, water rights for the different developments that they were doing.
Okay.
So different irrigation projects. Essentially what first-in-time, first-in-right means is first-come, first-serve principle. The reason why it's problematic is it doesn't go any further than that. If you claimed your rights to water first, then you essentially have priority to use that water despite what you're using it for and despite how it impacts on our rivers and our ecosystem.
Okay. Right.
And so that's why it is, you know, an exciting possibility that the government is looking to review the first-in-time, first-in-right allocation process. It's definitely a need to change that process to bring it into the 21st century and to ensure that there are prioritizations for water for our rivers and lakes and, of course, water for our basic human rights. In terms of, you know, why, I guess, like where the government's at or where we're at as a public, knowing about this issue, it is quite limited. And if you do a Google search on water allocation review, there are just few clips that do come up. So what happened, though, so 2008, Renner makes this announcement. They're going to review water rights within the province. Instead of going to the public with the issues that are on the table, you know, getting people up to speed on what is this first-in-time, first-in-right issue, okay, what are some other water problems that we're experiencing here in the province that need to be looked at, and bringing in a public perspective to make sure that public values are up front when it comes to, you know, this review and the changes that are going to take place. The government commissioned three committees to look at the present system and to put forward recommendations for changes. So now these committees came out with their reports in November 2009, and that's where the Sierra Club campaign kind of came into play, where we were able to take the recommendations in these reports, look at them critically, and now bring them out to the public to essentially do the job of the government to get people informed and up to speed on what's happening with water rights within the province and what the future of water law could look like in this province.
And then from there, they're looking at a market system. So can you describe that?
So yeah, essentially all of the reports put forward recommendations to use water markets as a means of refining our water allocation system, and essentially not challenging the first-in-time, first-in-right principle, but rather allowing for water licenses to be made into private property that can now be bought, sold, and traded as a means of reallocating water to new uses. I guess there's more of a history here to touch on, which is that in the South Saskatchewan River Basin, the rivers there are closed to new water licenses. And so that has really been an impetus for this water review because, you know, new developments are wanting to spring up in southern Alberta. And, you know, new businesses, municipalities are growing. There is a need for new water. But because they've closed water allocations, they needed to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to take water from, you know, existing license holders and reallocate it to new uses? Or are we going to develop this market system, which allows these water licensees to now buy, sell, and trade their license? So essentially, the South Saskatchewan River Basin is where this kind of impetus came from. Now, they did introduce the market-based mechanisms in South Saskatchewan before this review happened, and there have been numerous trades that have taken place between water license holders in the South Saskatchewan River Basin. But now, with these recommendations, what we're seeing is that instead of challenging this first-in-time, first-in-right principle and saying that these license holders maybe shouldn't be given this unchallengeable right to water, you know, that we should just provide an incentive, a profit incentive for them to trade it to new uses. And they're looking to, these recommendations call for that system to be expanded throughout our province to all the other river basins, even though as it stands in our other basins, we haven't reached that state of overallocation yet.
So this is largely then, you know, Calgary's probably pulling heavily from the South Basin, or is it more Lethbridge and Medicine Hat and things like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, Calgary has a massive license, absolutely. I mean, being one of the first settlements here. Some of the junior licenses, which are what raise concerns, are the city of Okotoks, Strathmore, and High River.
Right.
So these are three communities that have junior licenses that are in kind of that state of crisis where their communities are expanding and they're looking to gain access to new water. And so in the South Saskatchewan River Basin, their option is right now is to find a senior license holder who has extra water that they're not using or they're willing to give up and to essentially buy it from them.
Wow. So and a junior license is a license gotten from somebody else who holds the original license of first come, first serve kind of thing?
No, it's essentially just a license that was received kind of later in date. And,
okay.
And I mean, the first-in-time, first-in-right system really sprung from the premise that, like, we lived with water abundance.
Yeah.
And that water was always going to be there flowing in these rivers. So, you know, we weren't going to really meet that peak moment where there wasn't going to be any water.
Right.
And that's why it was such a simple process that they, you know, and simple principle that they used. You're there first, you make claim to 20,000 meters of water, you know, that's kind of your right, and the next person that comes up, you know, makes a claim for a different amount, and they kind of, then kind of down the line, and essentially, just based on the fact that water's always going to be in those rivers. I mean, of course, that came from a place of ignorance because water is renewable, but it's not that fast. And it's renewable only when it's given the allowances to kind of be maintained within the natural infrastructure that exists for it. And that's another big issue with deciding water allocation, like one on a first-come, first-serve basis, but then now moving to water markets where it would essentially be an ability-to-pay principle, is that what is it being used for? And how is it being used? And is that water actually being returned into the natural infrastructure to be able to be reprocessed within the hydrological cycle that gives us this renewable resource?
Because we're talking about first come, first serve, so First Nations rights around water, what effect on that? Has there been any talk on that?
Yeah, so this is another big issue that definitely doesn't have enough attention called to it. So under the treaties, Treaty 6, 7, and 8, essentially, are the ones that affect us here in Alberta. First Nations do have a right to water in the sense that it links to their treaty rights to use their land for their traditional, like, needs and lifestyles, as well as just kind of speaking to that treaty, a treaty slogan, which is, you know, for as long as the sun shines and the grass grows and the rivers flow. So when it comes to this review of water rights and changes to water law and the implementation of water markets, you know, First Nations really should have been like the first group to kind of be informed about this move, and to have offered, you know, have been assured their free, prior, and informed consent when it came to any changes that affect this natural resource, because essentially under their treaty rights, that is their right. And of course, there's the UN Declaration of Indigenous Peoples that reaffirms that, that, you know, when it comes to resource extraction or resource development or policy on Indigenous lands, Indigenous peoples do have that right to free prior and informed consent. Here in Alberta, we haven't seen that. The Assembly of Treaty Chiefs, comprised of Treaty Chiefs from Treaty 6, 7, and 8, have passed several resolutions, which I believe are available on their website, that, you know, speak to this issue and speak mm-hmm. to the concerns that they have about not being engaged in this process, about having their treaty rights violated. I mean, additionally, just on a national scope, the Assembly of First Nations nationally has also endorsed the concerns from right. the Assembly of Treaty Chiefs here in Alberta yeah. about the Alberta government's review of yeah. water policy, and have also passed a resolution.
Yeah, this is sort of a side note, but just when you were talking about the United Nations guidelines on Indigenous rights, and when you were explaining it, I was going, yeah, no wonder Canada hasn't signed it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing, there's power there.
That raises another question when you're talking about allocation and first come, first serve, and then the water rights. And then, so how is this going to affect the dams and things that are in place? So if I have a part of a river or a spot, I can dam it, and then I can suddenly, I have more water than you, and then I have more water rights, and then I can really sell a lot. I mean, is there any discussion about that in there or no?
Well, see, I think that's that kind of gets into a little bit of a complicated area,
right.
Because it is that essentially what you're speaking of is the riparian rights. Riparian rights are if you have land adjacent to a body of water, then you have rights to using that water. I mean, I think that's a very good question that needs to be brought up in this discussion when we do talk about using water markets and we talk about allowing water license holders to use their water license as a piece of private property and buy, sell, and trade that. What does that mean for riparian water rights? They have the same rights. You know, like, yeah, are they able to, people with riparian rights, going to be able to essentially claim that water for themselves
right.
and then, you know, divert that water to make a profit so it gets to a new use? It's a very good question that needs to be brought up. I think the major concerns, though, that we're seeing with these recommendations, on top of course, the suggestion of commodifying water, is that there isn't a call to prioritize water for the needs of our rivers and our lakes and our ecosystems, which right now with first come, first serve system, the problem that it created in the South Saskatchewan River Basin is essentially the allocations were too much and the water in the river was not sufficient enough to one, you know, provide for the allocations that were already handed out, but also to maintain a level of flow in the river to keep the fish habitat up to speed and to keep the plants at a level where they were able to keep growing and to keep kind of our ecosystems and our wildlands and just like the natural spaces, you know, alive, because as we know, water isn't just for people. We all need it to live. And so, you know, that's why any changes that do come forward to the Water Act really need to ensure that there are these prioritizations and that we are identifying the real needs of our animals and our plants and our lakes and our rivers to make sure that that's taken care of before we start taking water away for our economic and our, you know, commercial use.
Can you explain more to me about the campaign?
Yeah, so the campaign is Got Thirst, Will New Alberta Water Law Leave You High and Dry? And the website is www.gotthirstalberta.ca. And essentially this campaign came together. Now, the reason for the campaign is really to draw on the reality that we are facing water scarcity here in the province. And in addition to climate change concerns, where we are seeing receding glaciers, receding snowpacks, increasing evaporation,
right.
There are also concerns with the fact that water is being taken to certain uses
right.
over other uses. And so that water scarcity might not just be one of a natural reality, but more of a human-created scarcity, where we're seeing new industries and large-scale farms and coal-fired power plants and tar sands taking vast amounts of our water and threatening the health of our ecosystems and the abilities of certain municipalities and even rural communities of being able to assure the water that's needed for them. So Got Thirst is really trying to speak to that thirst that does exist here in this province and raise awareness for folks that we do need to start thinking about our water and where it's going and policies around it and laws around it, because better now to think about it than when we are in that really crunch position where we are kind of going thirsty. Yeah, the characters that we have on there, one is a young girl holding a skateboard and speaking to the fact that we don't think about our future generations often enough when we talk about water and we talk about water policy. And so trying to draw on that, she's a local girl from here in Alberta and offered to do this because she is kind of a savvy youth that gets it. and then, the fisherman as well, Marco, he's from Jasper, and he fishes himself. He's a fly fisherman and recognizes that if we don't have water policy and water law that ensures that water is kept for our lakes and our rivers and the health and maintaining the health of our ecosystems, that him as a sports fisherman is going to lose out on that that option. So those are kind of our characters there. Again, it's just a campaign piece that's trying to make itself more accessible to a broader demographic of people in Alberta.
It also reminds me of Derek Jensen's Forget Shorter Showers article, where he says, collectively, municipal golf courses use as much water as municipal human beings.
Like the people use in general. When you're talking about how are we going to use our water.
Absolutely. And I think Derek Jensen can be very inspiring in the way that he lays it out so clearly.
Yeah. So talk about, because I know on the campaign website, you mentioned the tar sands. So because the tar sands is one, and the other one that sort of comes to mind is also the potential of getting gas out of some of the ground in southern Alberta, right? Because Alberta's running out of natural gas too.
Right now, when you look at water allocations in Alberta, over 75% of water allocated in Alberta is going to industrial development. So that includes the tar sands, that's the 7 coal-fired power plants that we have in the province, that's over 150,000 oil and gas wells that we have in the province. And so, yeah, these are the major players and major water users of water. Like in our province, when you talk about water policy and you talk about the need to ensure that there are protections to preserve water for our environment and to preserve water for our basic human needs, to preserve water for our future generations down the line, I think it speaks to us most clearly when we look at the tar sands, where Suncor and Syncrude, some of the two largest tar sands operators are senior water license holders on the Athabasca River.
Oh, and, really? Oh.
Yeah, and so, if we are to move forward in water policy that doesn't address that and doesn't ensure strong protections and prioritizations of water for those other uses, then we're going to see Suncor and Syncrude with a priority of water rights than that junior water license holder down the line. And again, using markets to try to reallocate water and assure that water gets allocated to where it needs to be, who has the ability to pay the most? Is it Suncor and Syncrude, or is it the city of Fort McMurray, or is it town of Athabasca? Who really is going to be able to win with those water markets? And I don't think it's that difficult of a.
Yeah, it's probably pretty obvious who's going to win.
Yeah, I just think it's a pretty obvious thing as well. So that's why it is a big concern with the tar sands, is because tar sands are a very concerning industry in the way that they use water, but also in what they're doing to the water. And I think that that's also a part of our concern with the water policy review, is the lax stance that we're seeing in these recommendations towards the need for regulation of where water is being used. We need to have a more holistic framework when it comes to water, so that we're looking at where it's used, and then we're looking at what happens after it's used. Right. And in the case of the tar sands, the water that's taken from the Athabasca is essentially, never returned, stays in these tailing lakes, but we know that it is leaching out into the Athabasca River. So there's problems there. Like, one, it's never being returned, but then, two, it's poisoning it. Syncrude and Suncor do have more water rights than does the Athabasca River.
Wow.
Right? And that's like the biggest, a major issue. I guess to kind of complicate it more is looking at presently the Alberta Water Act does demand that we do have water conservation objectives set for all 7 river basins. We don't have them. We have one water conservation objective set in the South Saskatchewan River Basin, and that came after the crisis of watching the ecosystems deteriorate because there wasn't enough water at a high enough in-stream flow. And so that's another kind of discourse to this, is that, and the importance for people to kind of get more aware of what's happening with water and where it's going and policy around it, is because even if we do have the greatest policies in place, if we don't have a government that's actually enforcing these things, then it's really not doing anything for us.
Is there a point in which the public is going to be involved in this? That has the government sort of said where they're going to go from here?
Yeah, no, actually. So in that Calgary Herald article where Renner did make his announcement that he was going to be reviewing the water allocation process, he did say 18 months from now we're gonna have public consultations. Mm-hmm. So if you do that math, 18 months from now actually is at this time. It was actually January. And so, no, we haven't seen that happen. Now, what we have heard from the government, and this is just through kind of the informal channels that exist, is that they're looking at the spring or possibly the early summer to do public consultations. Now, we are concerned that these consultations are actually going to look more like info-telling sessions and not actually like an open process to get the values of the public to make sure, you know, like up front to right. make sure that changes actually reflect what people want. I mean, that's the discourse that we're seeing within the recommendations here that call for, you know, water markets and that make the argument that we need to go in that direction is that, you know, water needs to be allocated to higher value uses. And these higher value uses that are going to bolster our GDP and they're going to, create more money for our communities and that's going to trickle down and that's going to give us the prosperity and the wealth that we're all desiring.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and that's very concerning because... Yeah, you know, like a healthy lake and a clean river and fresh water in your tap and being able to traditionally harvest fish from a lake that served your family for generations, like yeah. that doesn't bolster the GDP as much as a new tar sands mine or a new gas mine down in the south or a new large hog farm.
The wording there, that's just amazing.
Yep.
The higher value. I mean, that's
uses.
Wow. Like your lone life, having water to drink and keep yourself alive is not a high value, I guess. I don't know.
For sure. No, if it doesn't make money, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Like that's what it's all about.
So. Wow. Okay, I'm depressed.
Yeah, I know. And that's the problem.
No. It's so important. I mean, when I saw that come out, I was like, oh my God, it's already started.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. And when we do start looking at something as essential as water, and start thinking that it's okay to commodify this, and it's okay to treat this as just another input into our economy that we're going to just grow and grow and just make us money, instead of recognizing it as like something that's so intrinsically valuable in itself, and that our policy should not be about allocating this to a higher value use. Essentially, protecting and preserving water is should be a higher value use in itself. But yeah, it is kind of, it does beg the question of like, where are we going to draw the line? Where are we going? Where are we going to say, hey, you know what? Sorry, this is kind of a sacred space. And, you know, this is something that is needed, not just for us as humans, but also for non-humans and plants. Yeah. And we got to start thinking about our future generations. So we're going to actually really regulate this and make sure that there is a democratic process involved here where people understand the impacts of water and of water policy that doesn't protect and prioritize this resource and make sure that what we come up with is something that recognizes the needs and values of us as a public humanity. You know, this review is taking place. That water law as we have it in Alberta does not protect and prioritize water for our ecosystems, for our basic human needs, or for our future generations, and that the proposed changes are not about addressing that,
yeah.
but rather about building off of this first-in-time, first-in-right system and bringing in market-based mechanisms to treat water licenses as private property to be bought, sold, and traded.
No, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Totally yeah. appreciate this, too.
Okay, so that's pretty crazy stuff, eh? And what I find even crazier to me is that our public broadcaster hasn't even paid attention to this issue. So here comes this report out. Now, the Herald's probably carried it in the paper, and they probably read it in the paper a while back, decided it would come out a little bit later, maybe. And maybe they did do something very briefly back in 2008. But here this report comes out. Huge effect on living creatures, human beings, the whole ecosystems, the whole process of how we deal with water, and not a peep. Nothing.
They're too busy chasing ambulances, accidents. Better if somebody dies in it, because then there's really a story. You know, celebrity watching, celebrity chasing. And this is what we get from a public broadcaster that doesn't really even care about the public need, the public interest. You know, so from that point of view, I think that the public is just not served by a public broadcaster that doesn't care about the public, that doesn't take on these issues of public concern. And if nothing is a public concern, like water, I don't know what is. I don't know what has of any public interest whatsoever, if water has no public interest. What is the purpose of a public broadcaster if it does not serve the people? I ask you that time and time again, because we are not being served by our public broadcaster. They are not paying attention to the people that are running our lives. And that's what they really should be doing. They're too busy trying to be like Fox News or WLKZ somewhere USA to really being what they're supposed to be being for the people, not only of Alberta, but of the nation. Okay, so that's one point. Second point that really just sort of, this one sticks with me more, probably more than anything else that we talked about. I think you can see the real deceptions that are coming through, and I think you also can see the real colonialism that we're dealing with here, the real colonial concept that we're dealing with here, with really blatant racism, when it comes right down to it. And that is, when we're talking about first in time, first in right, well, excuse me, but who were the first people here? The First Nations, the indigenous people of this land for more than 11,000 years. So where are they in this process? They're invisible. They haven't been consulted properly. The government hasn't shown due respect. That's on one hand. Then on the other hand, how the heck can anybody claim to be the first to have rights to this water if we're using these rules? The indigenous peoples of the land have the first rights to the water, period. They were the first ones here if we use the first in time, first in right. That's the rule. But you see, we're not talking about indigenous peoples. We're talking about white people. We're talking about companies, corporations. So in that case, we're talking colonialism. We're talking about disenfranchising the people with the real rights and just taking them away. This is what we're talking about. This is how First Nations people are paid back for trying to share the land with the Witego. And for First Nations people, you know, they've been dealing with the Witego for 518 years. The Witego never treats you properly, never tells you the truth, and only takes. That's the reality. And that's the reality that they're in right now. First in time, first in right. It's right there in print. Even our textbooks say, you know, in school, indigenous peoples were the first here. First in time, first in right. It's right in the text. It's right there. So I have a really hard time with that one. Just stunningly hard time with that one. Okay, number three. And then I'll be more quiet. Number three is high value. And I'm going to read to you some of the intention that they have around high value. And this is, I mean, this statement in and of itself has got to be one of the most insane statements I've ever read. That is, water can move from one use to another higher value use that offers more benefit to society overall. A more economical beneficial use is one that translates into a higher gross domestic product, more money circulating in the community, more tax dollars, etc. Typically, as water moves up the value chain, it is used more efficiently and productively, which supports the outcome of the water for life strategy. What's up with the go? I mean, seriously. What's that? The value of water, they've got it on its head. The true value of water is that it gives us life. And nothing trumps that. Not a single damn thing. How can we even say that as it moves up through a chain of productivity that, you know, it's going to become more efficient and it's going to be more productive and this way it's going to give us more this, more that. That's crap. It gets more polluted. It gets more stuff chucked in it. Somebody's making money off of it. That's damn sure. So someone's getting more profit out of it. That's for damn sure. But it's not getting used more productively. The highest value of water is that it is in our ecosystem, and in our ecosystem is providing life, not only for humans, but for non-humans, trees, plants, animals, the works. That's its highest value. And nothing trumps that. If we want water for our kids, if we want water for our future generations, our grandchildren and their children, then we need to really see this as a threat to life, because that's what it is. This is valuing money, profit, over children and grandchildren, over trees, over fish, over birds. And all of these things have just as much right to life as humans do. And all of these things are far more valuable than anybody's profit.
One more drink. Wish I knew the guy who knows how it feels to never feel a thing. Cause I'm broken, I'm tired, and I'm tired of both. I lost track of my lack of self-control. You've heard that one before. In just a little bit, I'll have one last drink. Soon I'll be the guy who knows how it feels to never feel a thing. Cause I'm broken, I'm tired, and I'm tired of both. I lost track of my lack of self-control. I've heard that one before.
Here we go once again, yeah, you know the tune. Time to put that smile on, you got a show to do. To prove to them you still got hope in you. But don't show them that you ain't knowing what to do. Just sit back and smile while that buzz kicks in. Not look at these eyes, the steady judging it. It's not like they even see how contained the rage is. And if he lets it out, he knows it's bloody contagious. So pour another round, give me a glass of the great escape. Straight away, no debate, so I can delay the date. That I got day to day, running in this human race. Not sure I'm gonna pull through. I got no shake and bake, and my faith is all the bait. Like fate got me in a state, and I wait, hoping but not knowing about an ending place. So it is, looking for something to tell me it's okay, and maybe find the answers in the bottle some other day.
Just a little bit, I'll have one more drink. Wish I knew the guy who knows how it feels to never feel a thing. Cause I'm broken, I'm tired, and I'm tired of both. I lost track of my lack of self-control. You've heard that one.
This ain't a 12-step program. No, man, this is a 12-drink slow jam. And I've been thinking if I had the wealth of someone, I wouldn't need this addiction of self-destruction. Perhaps find a perfect partner for these crimes. A replacement, if you will, for my love in the meantime. But I ain't hedging my bets with thoughts like these. I put a smile on for the people I gotta appease.
So dot your T's and cross your I's. Hope your memory makes it back in good time. Remember getting low felt good, though. Leave a drink unfinished. Don't know, I don't think so. When they see you walking through the door frame, the bartender's always so glad you came. And three shots, two shots, one remains. Only get one shot to try and explain. Yep. Just a little bit, I'll have one more drink. Soon I'll be the guy who knows how it feels to never feel a thing. Cause I'm broken, I'm tired, and I'm tired of both. I lost track of my lack of self-control. I've heard that one before.
That reflects reflection in the mirror, it looks just like you. Except a little hostile, not sure what he might do. You clearly see the demons that are trying to fight through. They're probably gonna let him go just to spite you. It's you against the world, they can't tell how you're feeling. Justified, we all go to hell for the weekend. But when the Fridays turn into the Wednesday mornings, them voices of reason, you just kinda send their warnings, yeah. But it ain't nothing new to me. Let's pack it up and go and add that gratuity. All I've been looking for is right here in front of me, but still going crazy because of what you do to me. It's why I'm popping these little pills of joy, but the emptiness inside, it helps to fill the void. And you're still annoyed because I'm on the verge, so wasted. But everybody got these friends in low places.
Just a little bit, I'll have one last drink. Soon I'll be the guy who knows how it feels to never feel the thing. And I'm tired of over lost track of my lack of self-control. I've heard that one before. Just a little bit, I'll have one last drink. Right now I'm the guy who knows how it feels to never feel a thing. Cause I'm broken and I'm tired of over lost track of my lack of self-control.
And that was The Filthy Politicians with Lost. Well, thank you very much, folks, for listening. It's a crazy show and some crazy ideas out there. And I think, as I said before, watch out for those crazy ideas because they're really what's screwing up our world here. Taking us out is Apsai with Crazy, Crazy, Insane. I think an apt song for today's show. Just remember, folks, the resistance needs you. Have a good night.
Excuse me, but I think you're